Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think that's the shortest Gospel of the year. It's the same one we use tomorrow. Two elements, the circumcision and the imposing of the holy name of Jesus. So two feasts. And a happy new year to all of you. We have a chance to start again, to get it right this year, to do well, to do better. It's a beautiful opportunity. We should keep in our prayers all those who are sick and suffering and struggling, especially former pastor here, Father Greg Gonzalez, had a serious stroke, had the last rites, but is out of emergency, but he's still in hospital, looking for rehab. He's in serious need. Keep him in your prayers. Three people dead. One of them, Chester Penner, the father of our parishioners, Sue Ann Penner, Denise Shepherd, Nick Penner. He passed away last Wednesday. There'll be a wake tomorrow in Nutley at the Brown Funeral Home from 2 till 6. And I'll be here on Monday for a Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. Chester Penner. But also, if you know Brother Benedict up in Ridgefield, he flew to his father dying over in Post Falls. Mr. John Kinney passed on to his eternal reward. And another one, the coordinator of our society's mission in Hawaii, where I used to go many times. The wife is Teresa Moylan, seemed to be healthy. Young mother, but she got mysterious cancer and quickly passed on to her eternal reward on Christmas Eve. So it's piling up. This is what's happening. This is what we can expect this year. So prepare yourselves for struggles ahead, and may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. You know Father Louis Alessio, former pastor here, family lives nearby. He'll be here from January the 4th to the 14th, but he's not expected to do public mass except next Sunday at the 7:30 mass. He'll do that, and I'll do the 10. Also, the 2022 collection envelopes will arrive shortly. You should be able to pick up a box before mass Sunday next week. Also, there's on the piano downstairs, there is this form. If anyone is interested, well, available, we should all be interested in helping prevent those four crimes that cry out to heaven for vengeance, including murdering of the innocent. So there's a pro-life or right to life rally in Trenton on Friday the 14th. And so if you're able to go, there'll be sign up sheet to see if you have ability to pool the cars, and it'll be helpful to know, because we'll be able to have a breakfast here and then head off from here, or you can go there directly yourself, sponsored by the Holy Name Society, which tomorrow is their big feast. Certainly worthwhile doing. You may know that in January, that's the in Washington DC is the big march, but what they're doing is the week before the big pro-life march, they're cracking down on all kinds of outrageous restrictions, precisely to prevent people from coming. So Trenton is another option. Please God, they won't crack down on ridiculous restrictions as they're doing in New York and elsewhere. Please God, the new mayor of New York City will change things around, but it doesn't look like it. So, protest, but pray. Pray, be ready to offer whatever sacrifices the good Lord demands of us. And I have here from the great commentator Cornelius Lapide, who's often quoted by St. Alphonsus and other saints, the great biblical scholar. Seven reasons why our Lord was circumcised, why he was cut and bleeding so soon after birth, as was required for all the sons of Abraham. It was way back in Genesis 17, it's first mentioned, and then it became a law for citizenship in the nation of Israel under Moses. It was the custom for thousands of years. And what does it mean? Why did our Lord submit to this ritual? Here it is, these seven reasons are taken from the writings of St. Cyprian, St. Augustine, St. Bede, given by St. Thomas. First reason, to show the reality of his human flesh against early heretics like Manichaeus, who said that Jesus had a phantom body. Apollinarius, who said that the body of Christ is consubstantial with the Godhead. That's a heresy. And Valentinus, who said that Jesus brought his body from heaven. Another heresy. So the reality of his human body, born into a family among the chosen people, Israelites, and he was to replace that chosen people with the new chosen people, the Catholics. And the ritual of circumcision was replaced by the ritual of baptism, both of which leave a permanent mark upon the person who is enrolled among the children of God. Permanent mark in the flesh for the Israelites, a permanent mark in the soul for you who are baptized. We call that the character. Second reason was to sanction the rite which God had instituted. It was God who told Abraham, do this, yourself, your children, and anyone who wants to be part of the true people of God must be ready to be sacrificed themselves. Thirdly, to show that he, Jesus, was of the seed of Abraham, who had received the ordinance of circumcision as a sign of faith, which he had in reference to Christ. So Our Lady speaks of Abraham and his seed. The seed of Adam, the seed of Abraham, is Christ. And the circumcision was a sign of that faith of Christ to come. Fourth reason is to take away all excuse from the Jews, lest they should not accept him if he were uncircumcised. For the same reason, St. Paul had his convert, St. Timothy, circumcised, lest the Jews reject their ministry. Whereas Titus, also of a Gentile background, St. Paul refused to circumcise him. So this was a big issue in the early church. Should converts to the Catholic faith be cut like the Jews had to be? And the answer was resolved at the First Catholic Council of Bishops, at the Council of Jerusalem in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. And the answer was no. To be Catholic, you have to be baptized, believe. And for a time, there were restrictions in food. They were not allowed to eat non-kosher food. Very few restrictions kept from the Old Testament law, but certainly not circumcision. And in fact, it was permitted for a time after the resurrection in the early church, but it was then forbidden. It was actually became a mortal sin. To perform that rite, as decreed by the Council of Florence in the 1400s, Council of Florence said it's a mortal sin for a Christian to be circumcised. And that is true if it's considered a religious ritual. If it's considered a medical procedure, it's not forbidden. Fifthly, to commend by his own example the virtue of obedience, because it was prescribed by the law that the child, every Jewish male child, should be circumcised on the eighth day after birth. Why not women, girls? Well, it's not ever been the practice. It's a barbaric practice among the Arabs and the Mohammedans. It should be outlawed by international law. But a girl, a child girl, belongs to her father, or if she then marries, she belongs to her husband, and it's that, along with her personal faith, which brings about for the Jewish people in the Old Testament, their salvation. just belonging to the chosen people and having their personal faith and observing the other rituals of God's law. Sixth reason, having come in the likeness of the flesh of sin, he might not seem to reject the remedy by which the flesh had been wont to be cleansed of sin. So although our Lord had no sin, it's a bit like the purification of Mary on February 2nd, the fourth joyful mystery. She had no sin to be purified of. It's just a ritual, which is very significant for the Old Testament people. Jesus and Mary were not subject to this, but this is the remedy God had provided. And seventhly, that bearing the burden of the law himself, he might free others from that law. God sent his Son, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He's quoting also St. Leo, St. Augustine, who says that putting an end to the carnal, Christ might put in its place the spiritual circumcision, which consists in the mortification and cutting away of vices and concupiscences. So also he began by that suffering by which he became the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. It is the first of the seven blood sheddings of our Lord. It was enough to redeem the world, redeem the entire universe. It was enough in justice. It wasn't enough for God's love, because as we know, it's prefigured his passion by which he would give every drop of his blood for our salvation. But it was sufficient that one drop of blood save the human race. And so this is the day of our redemption. This is the day our Lord bled for you, and he calls us to share in his passion, which we do at every Mass. And we should do every day in our morning offering, unite everything with the great sacrifice going on at the altars around the world. And the great resolution I recommend is to pray well your morning offering, and then throughout the day, reflect whether or not your thoughts, words, and deeds are consistent with your morning offering. Do that, and you will live well. Moreover, I found in the Council of Trent Catechism an amazing quote that is really relevant for us. When the Council of Trent Catechism goes through the explaining the Lord's Prayer and the seven petitions, remember the first one is Hallowed be thy name, which is the second commandment of God. Keep holy the name of God. And so that aspect we'll focus on tomorrow. The holy name, the power of the name of God, the holy name of Jesus. But then it goes through seven petitions. The last one is deliver us from evil. And when covering that, listen to what the Council of Trent, the best, the most authoritative catechism ever produced, tells us about those today who are struggling with all these diseases and pandemics and epidemics and diseases and sufferings of all kind. It goes, the infidel too begs God to cure his diseases and heal his wounds, to deliver him from approaching or impending evils. But he, the infidel, places his principal hope in the deliverance in the remedies provided by nature or prepared by man. He makes no scruple of using medicine, no matter by whom prepared, no matter if it's accompanied by charms, spells, or other diabolical arts, provided he can promise himself some hope of recovery. So health at all costs, that's the pagan attitude. And today's post-Christian neo-pagans, it's a prevalent attitude everywhere. Not so the Christian. When visited by sickness or other adversity, he flies to God as his supreme refuge and defense. Acknowledging and revering God alone as the author of all his good and his deliverer, he ascribes to him, God, whatever healing virtue resides in medicines, convinced that they will help the sick only insofar as God wills it. For it is God who has given medicines to man to heal his corporal infirmities. Hence the words in the book of Ecclesiasticus, or Jesus ben Sirach, the Most High hath created medicines out of the earth, and a wise man will not abhor them. He, therefore, who has pledged his fidelity to Jesus Christ does not place his principal hope of recovery in such remedies. He places it in God, the author of these medicines. Hence, sacred scripture condemns the conduct of those who, confiding in the power of medicine, seek no assistance from God. Nay, more, those who regulate their lives by the laws of God abstain from the use of all medicines which are not evidently intended by God to be medicinal, and were there even a certain hope of recovery by using any other, they abstain from them as so many charms and diabolical artifices. So that's the proper attitude we should have in today's drama that we're facing, the attitude of total trust in God, who gave healing power to all kinds of plants and medicines. Thank God for them. If they work, if they don't work, then it's God's will that you embrace the cross. Unite to the blood of our Lord, shed 7 times in his life, and renewing the sacrifice daily upon the altar, and you will transform your sufferings into immeasurable treasures in heaven. And there's no gain without any pain, as the athletes say. I think it's the bodybuilders. No pain, no gain. So that's the lesson of the circumcision of our Lord. And tomorrow, the same gospel reading, we focus on the imposing of the holy name and the tremendous power of the holy name of Jesus. So keep well your resolutions and pray at this sacrifice of the Mass that we may pursue virtue and holiness and bring blessings to this country and the world in 2022. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.